Hey everyone, John Greenwald here. So today I shot an interview with Stephen Greenstreet, host of The Basement Office, made through the New York Post. Just hours ago, he launched a 10-minute or so video detailing his struggle with the Pentagon while he's covered UFOs, UAPs, and Luis Elizondo. He's the man who says he led the entire program with the Pentagon to investigate unidentified aerial phenomena. He dropped some great information in the video, and now he's here to share even more about his experience. So stay tuned. You're about to journey inside the Black Vault. That's right, everybody. As always, thank you so much for tuning in and making this your podcast or your live stream of choice. Now, I'm excited about today's guest simply because I've wanted to get him on for a long time. I knew that there was a story here. I just didn't know exactly what the story was. And as of today, and kudos to him, he published quite a bit of the background that he's done investigating the claims about UFOs, ATIP, Luis Elizondo with the Pentagon. Now, a lot of you guys have heard me banter about that, but it's exciting for me that I get to pull on a journalist who's been investigating it himself and has a much different experience with different details to tell. Stephen Greenstreet from the New York Post and The Basement Office, host of The Basement Office. Stephen, thank you so much for taking the time to come in and join us and talk about your experience.
Hell yeah, man. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Well, I'm excited to have you. And the reason is because I know that you have dug in on this story, some of which you've published. And I just knew from kind of seeing how you operate and how you pursue stories that there must be more to it. And I know that for a while now, you've been pursuing quite a few different details. Today, you dropped a video. And before we get into that, I want you to just tell everybody, because a lot of people know you as the host of The Basement Office, but I want to know how you got there. How did you get involved with investigating UFOs, writing about UFOs, and ultimately The Basement Office?
Sure. So, you know, I was into UFOs as a kid, sci-fi UFOs. I read Anton Friedman book when I was 13, like that kind of thing. The older I got, I kind of left UFOs in my childhood. Like, that's a thing that, you know, young people get excited about. But, you know, I had a weird sighting in 2003 in Utah, which I talked about on The Basement Office. And, you know, that was always in the back of my mind. And then when I started working at the Post, every time a UFO story would come up, I would go, and I would kind of whisper and give them backstories and stuff. I found myself like, you know, I know this information, so I'll start, you know, helping with these stories. And then when the Times came out with their 2017 bombshell, I really picked my head up and said, okay, guys, maybe I know a lot about this stuff, so maybe I should help out on the articles. And they came to me and said, well, why don't you pitch a video series? Like, what kind of video series should we do? And I pitched The Basement Office. And that's when I just went off a cliff, just deep dive into everything. And really, the story released today is the bookend to where I started in many ways. Because one of the first things I did back in two years ago was email the Pentagon, you know, just... I didn't know how it works. I wasn't like you. I wasn't like a lot of ufologists where they've already been in the weeds for years. They know the back and forth with PAO offices and I was just like, hey, Steve Greenstreet with the Post, like, so ATIP, right? Cool. And Elizondo, right? I just didn't know how it worked. Mm-hmm. And when Sherwood responded that, I mean, and you're in the first video because Sherwood responded that, yeah, ATIP investigated UAP. And I was kind of like, wow, they just came out and said it. And then you were like, holy crap, they just came right out and said it.
Yeah.
That was like the start of it. And today's report was like 2 years in the making.
Yeah, that's where obviously you and I really met and started talking, because that statement did come out of left field, because they were seemingly so adamant about saying no, that ATIP did not research UAPs. Then you get this bombshell statement that really was, I think I said the word shocking in your video or something to that effect, because it was. And that's what really kind of surprised me about your original story. But what I also liked about you, and I really want to compliment you about this, you just didn't do a one and done article. You stuck with it. You kept pursuing the story. You kept asking questions. What was it after that article, when you got them to admit that they looked into UFOs and studied UFOs? What were you trying to do next? What were you pursuing?
Okay, so, you know, it should be stated that in that same response from Sherwood, where he said, yes, ATIP investigated UAP, his next statement was, but, you know, Elizondo had no responsibilities with ATIP. And at this point, like, the History Channel had been announced, you know, the History Channel Unidentified Show starring Lou Elizondo as the former head of ATIP. The New York Times, Politico, CNN, all of these big media companies were reporting, like, without doubt that this is the former head of ATIP. Like, there was no question marks in any of these articles. And so when I read a New York Times article or Politico or see a CNN report that says, here's the former director of ATIP, I assume that has come after a lot of reporting. And here's the Pentagon saying, nope, he wasn't. And I'm like, what the hell? And at that point, I was the only one to receive that statement, or at least it hadn't been reported yet publicly. And I took that statement, and I was so confused because I thought it was all set in stone. And I was like, well, I can't just end here. I have to obviously follow up on this. Keep digging. Why is Elizondo saying this, but the Pentagon saying something else? That's a story, you know? And so in digging with Chris Sherwood, who I should say I had a very positive experience with, because he was very cool about, you know, responding to emails. I'd say, hey, can you jump on the phone? He would jump on the phone. We would talk back and forth. And, you know, obviously he can't, as a PAO, he can't just release statements that come to his head. Mm-hmm. You know, so he wasn't like giving me full statements on the phone. He was talking about the process that he was going through in order to get me answers, because I was like, you can't just say that. Can you provide some documentation, essentially? And he and I went back and forth. He was looking for Lou's employment records, like records that would, Pentagon records that would, he would provide me, that would show that, oh, this is actually what he was doing, you know? And so I was like, great. I'll for those. Those are great. If I can get those, then I'll, you know, boom, that's the story. Pentagon says this, here's the documentation. That never came. It was like a back and forth and back and forth. And eventually, I remember I called him and I was like, hey, man, I'm asking you yes or no questions. Did he do this? Did he not do this? You're saying no responsibilities, but you won't answer if he was involved at all. You know, I asked him, you know, was he at least involved in ATIP? Wouldn't answer. No, yes. You know, couldn't even answer a yes or no question, which people who have never done this contacted the Pentagon. That's how it is. Mm-hmm. You just can't call up the Pentagon and say, hey, was this guy Elizondo part of ATIP? Oh, he was. Thanks. Bye. It just never works like that. So Sherwood discussed how he was crafting a statement with OUSDI. So basically, you know, he had PAOs have like a stack of previously approved statements.
Yeah.
They look through their stack. They have no comment that's been crafted, so they got to go out and reach out to the right people to get the right information to craft a statement. He was talking to me how he was communicating with OUSDI, back and forth, trying to craft something. And I got semi-frustrated. And I think he got semi-frustrated because I was just like, come on, man. Like, what is going on over there? Like, this should be a slam dunk question. He did or he didn't.
Yeah.
And he sighed. I'll never forget this. He sighed and said, you know what? I'm not really happy with the way they're handling this story. And I was like, wow, what is going on behind the scenes here?
Yeah.
And so, you know, and Sherwood, here, I'll just show you, like, this is just a sampling of comms that I have.
That was just with
written.
Sherwood?
This is Sherwood and Goff and stuff. And then, like, kind of like my reporter notes. But, like, I was going through my reporter notes, and another thing he told me was, I wish the Pentagon could just get a handle on this thing and release clearer answers. So here's the guy that's in charge of releasing clear answers, essentially saying, I can't release clear answers. As I can't. I wish they would get a handle on this so that I could release clearer answers.
Did you ever get a consensus of where this confusion was, other than, you know, clearly he was frustrated, but where's this confusion coming from? Shouldn't it be straightforward?
The only information that I know about is that he was in communication with OUSDI looking for Lou Elizondo's employment records and trying to provide his, what he thought was the most accurate information at the time. That was from him. I want to really give you the most accurate information we have. And it was in that process that he became frustrated with the way things were going, I guess.
So at one point then Goff took over, Susan Goff, who, you know, has become sadly a meme when it comes to UFO Twitter and stuff like that. And she's obviously heavily attacked, but she takes over. Sherwood is no more. You were obviously around for that transition. Did you get any indication on why Sherwood goes away and Goff takes over?
No. So in looking at my email chains with Sherwood, he was very responsive. I'd send him an email, he'd reply. Send him an email, he'd reply. Send him an email, he'd reply. And then soon after, he started to, I guess, be honest with me on the phone. No reply, no reply, no reply, no reply. Susan Goff replies. So it was like, it was almost like he was just stopped communicating with me. And then Susan Goff came in, I guess, in June. So this back and forth with Sherwood was in May 2019. And then, yeah, and around June is when Goff would be CC'd on some of those previous Sherwood emails with me. She'd be CC'd. And moving forward, Chris was CC'd on a lot of the Goff responses, but he never directly replied to me until months later.
Did you find it strange that she all of a sudden popped up on your CC list, or did you get an introduction, or was that strange? Like, that to me, that's a little strange.
No, to me at the time, not being a novice and not knowing how this works, I just assumed, okay, they're just bringing people into the loop so that they're all on the same page. I just assumed it didn't seem weird to me until he went away. And Sue obviously is the complete opposite of Sherwood, not very communicative, won't hop on the phone with you.
Yeah.
Is very short and sweet and to the point and won't go into further detail. Which if you think about it, is probably a really good PAO.
Yeah. Know? I mean, I hate to say it that way. Sweet may be debatable, but every other word you just used would definitely fit. But yeah, you can't corner her, so to speak. You can't get her on the phone. It is only by email, and you got to be lucky to get a response. I mean, it really comes down to luck, in my opinion. I mean, there's no art about it to get her to answer you. I think it just comes down to if she feels like responding, she will. If not, she doesn't. There's one thing that I want to ask you about, and I don't know if you can answer it, and it's okay if you can't, but I know that you've gotten a little bit of crap from some corners of the universe for not reporting let's say the Elizondo part of the statement, and so on and so forth. And I feel that that's incredibly unfair, and I'm not speaking for you, but where I think that that's very unfair is we don't know what was going on behind the scenes. I want to give you the opportunity to address that if you want. If not, I can move on. But do you want to address the naysayers on you sat on this, you ignored it? We don't need to name names, but you know that you didn't do your job. From hearing you talk, it makes me feel like you actually were doing your job. But let me pass it to you. Is there anything you want to address on that? Hold on, I lost
you. There we go. Sure. No. Okay, cool. Yeah, sure. I'll address that. So back in May 2019, when I was this kind of, wet green novice UFO reporter, when I got that statement that within the same email, ATIP investigated UAP, but Elizondo had responsibilities, I was going to do a story touching on both. And as we developed the story and I wrote the story, we realized those are two separate stories. One about the Pentagon revealing for the first time that they investigated UAPs. That was like a button story. And then the Pentagon denying Elizondo and the whole Elizondo backstory was like its own story, which obviously it is. It's like, it's almost two separate things. And so I didn't want to just release the cookie cutter Pentagon statement, especially after Chris said he was going to provide documentation. I was like, oh, hell yeah. Like, that'll be great for an article. And I almost think like this is just me personal. So I have no evidence of this, but just how I felt was I made the mistake of inferring that I won't run a story until I get further documentation if you can provide it. And I think they probably pushed me along and carried me along on that. Yeah, we're working to get the documentation. Oh, we're working to get the documentation. Days, weeks, trying as this developed. And by that point, The Intercept launched an article on the Pentagon statement that I had. And then others, published that statement, you included this statement. And at that point, with no documentation that ever came, Chris Sherwood disappearing, others already scooping me and reporting essentially the same thing, I moved on. And yeah. I mean, literally, 90% of my job is not UFOs.
Yeah, yeah.
I am not a full-time UFO reporter. I do everything. If you go to the Post YouTube page, anything that's been produced, documentary style stuff, I probably did that or was a part of it. 90% So at that point, it was just moving on to other assigned responsibilities.
Yeah,
I was given other assigned responsibilities and it was just, moving on. But that didn't stop me from, in my spare time and, bootstrapping, to steal a phrase, continuing the conversation with Goff and the Pentagon. So that's literally what happened. It's not like salacious or nefarious. That's just literally what happened.
Did the documentation, because my ears always perk up whenever I hear the D word, come up again with Susan Goff? Because if you were going back and forth with Sherwood for so long and that documentation was promised, did that ever get pushed again or talked about?
Okay, so I actually was looking through my emails and I brought it up at least two more times after that where I said, hey, do you have an update? You promised this, or you were at least looking for this. Did you ever acquire that? What's the update on that? And as far as I remember, I mean, I've got a ton of emails. As far as I know, it was never addressed again, never brought up again, never addressed.
And they just ignored your request even after promises.
Oh, yeah. And then after, was it Roger Glassell and you? I forget who first, but December 2019, when Sue Goff released the ATIP had nothing to do with UAP, I was furious. I was so frustrated.
Yeah.
And I sent off an email where I went back through all of my Sherwood Goff emails, and I said, you guys said this on this date. You're now saying this. You said that you provided me with the most accurate information, and now you're saying this. And I had this bullet-pointed email that mostly went unanswered. I think Goff replied with one or two sentences, but all of my point-by-points were never addressed.
I Roger may have got it. I've shouted him out many times on this program. He does great work and pursues the story. I will say I think that I was the first, simply because I remember the situation and it was odd. I was not pushing the, hey, you said ATIP studied UAPs now. Do you want to change your mind? Do you want to go back on that? Like I was accused of that, but I wasn't. I was going after something else. And in the course of going back and forth with emails, she had essentially brought it up and said that I'm paraphrasing, but essentially that they needed to correct the record on ATIP, that Sherwood had obviously released that statement, but she had taken it back. And I immediately reached out to you and went, oh, great. You know, that's all I need is for Greenstreet to think I'm attacking him. But rather, the story was the flip flop, not necessarily that I believed this side or that side, but rather the flip flop. And I don't blame you for being frustrated, because I mean, I've had it happen to me as well, where they'll say one thing and then take it back. And the name example is a prime thing that I still get attacked for, but I don't regret pushing the issue. But the name of ATIP and what the acronym stood for, and there was documentation to say that, you know, it was aviation versus aerospace. Then there were statements that said it was aviation, and it was this big mess. But I know that frustration when they say something to you and then later take it back. Working for a big outfit go ahead.
Yeah, but it wasn't just the statement. It was the fact that I felt I had done due diligence back in May 2019 after they gave me that statement, where I didn't just take it and run with it. I was back and forth, where he's saying, I'm back and forth with OUSDI. I'm, quote, trying to find the most accurate information regarding all of this. Where it was days of him supposedly researching this, finding the most accurate answer, and then providing that answer. And the most accurate answers were Lou Elizondo had no responsibilities, but yes, ATIP researched UAP. You know, it's like, how could you get it wrong? Was essentially my attitude. How did you get that so wrong after supposedly spending days and days and days digging with, you know, OUSDI? It's basically like, how can you get a yes or no question so wrong when you have spent days and days and days back and forth researching, digging up the facts to give me the most accurate information? How can you get that wrong? You know, like, it's not like I could understand one statement after one day, but the amount of time Chris supposedly put into that statement, I just don't buy it. Something's going on at the Pentagon.
You obviously work for a mainstream outlet. Why do you think that there's no repercussions for the Pentagon giving a statement and having a big outlet report something as true, just to retract the whole thing and literally do a 180 within 6 months? How, like, do you feel that there should be repercussions for that? I mean, is there a consensus? Not that you speak for the New York Post, and I'm not asking you to, but working for a big outlet, what is the consensus when that happens? Because the essentially journalism itself is attacked.
Yeah, I mean, I can speak for me, which is two things. One, that's outrageous. I mean, but you don't want to just put a period on that. You want to, like I did, reach out and find out what the hell happened. You know, why? And the answer that I got from Goff, literally, was, well, that was the information Chris had at the time. I have now acquired new information, better information, more accurate information than what Chris had at the time. And that new information says ATIP was not about UAP. So that's.
I wish I could be a fly on the wall to figure out the conversations on the inside when Susan Goff gets involved and says, well, you just didn't have the right information, even though you put the weight of the Pentagon behind your statement. I'm going to go ahead and change it because my information is better. Who the heck did he talk to that she, you know, either got somebody higher or whatever? To me, it's just utterly confusing. But be that as it may, in the remaining time that I have left with you, because I know I pulled you away from quite a few different responsibilities, assigned responsibilities today, one thing I do want to ask you about is the fact that you've talked to Elizondo, interviewed Elizondo. You've got videos with him as well. I urge everybody to watch those as well. They're great, and you've brought this up to him. Can I ask Stephen Greenstreet, not the journalist, not the New York Post, but Stephen, how do you feel about the story when it comes to Luis Elizondo and the statements that the Pentagon has said against him, challenging his integrity? Do you have thoughts on what's going on here and who is telling the truth?
Sure. If I've learned one thing about government PAO is every single word matters. So I think a lot of people read a statement as a statement. Go back and read that statement as a series of words, and every word matters. And you'll notice in their first statement said he had no responsibilities. Their second statement, they said he had no assigned responsibilities. Why? They didn't just throw that word in there. That word was crafted. That word was decided by committee. Let's add assigned. What does that mean? They're playing a game. They're playing a game and hoping not too many people notice, in my opinion. So what does it tell me? They might be technically the truth, while at the same time getting their way on this guy that they perhaps don't like that much. So he had no assigned responsibilities. So did he have any responsibilities? They wouldn't answer that question when I asked. Did he have any involvement? They wouldn't answer that question when I asked. They would only answer whether he was director or not of the, you know, and here, let me just tell you this because not many people know this, but Dana White, in Politico, in the December 2017 Politico article, Brian Bender mentions he spoke with Dana White, who, you know, at the time was, I believe at the time was the Pentagon's.
She was the main spokesperson, yeah.
And she confirmed Elizondo was the director, per the article, of ATIP, and that ATIP was about UAPs, et cetera, et cetera. It wasn't a released statement, meaning it wasn't a quote. It was like a paraphrase of something she had said. And there's been a lot of debate about that Dana White quote. And, you know, I spoke to Dana White. I spoke to her on the phone. And in fact, I shared this on Twitter. I was shooting a Katy Perry interview. I was shooting a Katy Perry interview, and I was about to roll with Katy Perry when Dana White called me, and I like absconded to like a dark hallway. And Dana White told me, yes, Lou Elizondo ran ATIP. And then she said, but running things means many different things in government. To run something can mean many different things. She didn't expand on what that meant. And so it just to add to the confusion of what that is. How I feel personally is I feel Lou Elizondo was involved with ATIP. I don't think there's any doubt about Lou's involvement with the study of UAP intelligence while within the Pentagon. But I think this is a big story. I really do. I think it's one of the biggest stories that's right under the surface that not a lot of people are paying attention to. And it's bubbling up. It's bubbling up. I mean, Lou's filing complaints with the Pentagon. It's just back and forth. It's bubbling. It's leading somewhere, you know, and I'm trying to tell people like this is a story that, that could potentially just boom.
It amazes me because generally if somebody is coming out and lying and they're making up a story, when they're called out, especially when the weight of the Pentagon starts essentially attacking them in statements, I would think they'd go away. And rather, Lou is actually escalating everything by filing that complaint, pushing for the DODIG to get involved. Now, the DODIG is involved, and we don't know exactly how that's going to turn out, but you know, I'm popping popcorn at this point because I'm really curious to see how all that comes out. In the last couple of minutes, I want to ask you one other thing on Dana White when she said that leading things means different things. Was there anything else in that conversation that I can poke you on to see that came out? I mean, did you ask her, hey, what does that mean? Did she say, yes, he ran it, hang up? Did she have any thoughts about the Pentagon's change of stance?
She actually would not speak to that. And I think, you know, that was just like, she didn't have any grudges or anything. She was very professional. And I don't think she wanted to speak to her former office. You know, like she wanted to just provide me what she knew personally and then didn't want to speak about what was going on in her old office currently, which I can respect, you know, on a sure. professional level. And honestly, at the time, this was 2 years ago, I was rushed to interview a pop star. And so I didn't have much time to ask her follow-up questions. And the only pertinent information that I got from her was, you know, a second confirmation from Dana White that Lou, quote, ran ATIP. But what was interesting to me is running things in government can mean many different things. So that was like the main takeaway for me from Dana White.
Yeah, and that's you answered my next one of what that main takeaway was, which is that she confirmed Politico's reporting because it has been controversial. He didn't have a quote. I've questioned it myself, full disclosure, but you actually traced Dana White down. So kudos to you for tracing the story. I think in the last minute or so here, I want you to also point out one other thing that you had found out, which I found incredibly interesting in your video. And then we'll go ahead and wrap it up, and I'll urge everybody to watch it, which is in the link below. But you had learned from the Defense Intelligence Agency when the DIA was still speaking for themselves and Susan Goff didn't take over, that Luis Elizondo had played a role in the transferring of the ATIP program from DIA to essentially OSD. You had a great point. That would be an assigned responsibility. So you threw that to the Pentagon, and I'll let you take it from there. You asked them, what did they say?
Okay, yeah, so James Kudla at the Defense Intelligence Agency was quite specific with me in saying Lou Elizondo helped transfer ATIP from DIA to another office. And as I show in the video, I brought that up to Goff and Sherwood, and Sherwood replied saying, yeah, we don't disagree with that. And I was like, what? like you told me he had no responsibilities with ATIP. This guy said he did. You're saying you don't disagree with him. Would you like to amend your statement? And they said no. They said the previous statement stands. And like I said in the video, to this day, they're still releasing the same statement. And so just to be technical, let's be technical. If DIA says he had an assigned responsibility, you agree with DIA's statement, then your current statement that he had no responsibilities with ATIP is not,
it's not
how
true.
Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't change it. They dug their heels in.
Yeah. I reached out to them many times, man. She rarely, if ever, replies to me now.
Yeah.
Ever replies to me. I think I'm on some kind of Pentagon blacklist at this
yeah,
point.
I feel I'm on the same list. So welcome to the club. I don't think we're getting holiday greeting cards this year. But, you know, Stephen, I really do appreciate it. Like I said a couple minutes ago, I know I pulled you away from other responsibilities that you do have today. But thank you for at least giving us a little bit of insight into your experience, you know, because you were definitely in the thick of it. I hope you stick with it. I know you will with the basement office, it sounds like, but also future stories. But thank you for taking the time. I really do appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks, John.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you all for listening and watching. This is John Greenwald Jr. signing off. We'll see you next time.